Hey, everyone. This is Yolanda from Radio and TV Entertainment, AM, FM. And, well, I'm live. It's been a while. Yes, it has. Doing a lot of celebrity interviews on the podcast show with many phenomenal podcast co-hosts, celebrity podcast co-hosts. What I mean by that is that they have and still are in the entertainment industry and are, whether they're on the rise or, but they've been around for a very long time in the entertainment industry, so they know the ins and outs, what takes place, what comedy is all about, what it takes to be, to have staying power, what it takes to grow in the entertainment industry. But not only that, some of them take it seriously, some of them really, there are some out there that take it so seriously that they continue their educating themselves to get to grow in the industry. Not to just grow wealthy, but to grow in the industry like so many legends before them. And this is why I highly regard them, because it is a hard work ethic that actors, comedians, music artists, bands, and many more have time and time again have often developed themselves in, because they have a love and a passion for their skill sets and what they bring to an audience. Whether it's laughter at the end of the day, after you get off from work, and you may be a little stressed, maybe the boss wasn't so kind the other day, but you can go into their stand-up and just laugh it off. Just laugh off the rough day that you had and go home saying, man, that was a great show. I was able to laugh. Able to laugh off my hard day. Or just to listen to a song. Or a couple of instrumentals, you know, that was carefully constructed by someone that was a producer that helped out the songwriter. And the songwriter and composer helped out the music artist. So, I'm going to give a brief interlude because I have my celebrity co-host, Miss motivational comedian Miss Woody, to be coming on to the call. We're going to have a nice discussion about hot topics in the entertainment industry. I'm not going to give any more than that to all of you out there that we do care about, because we want to give you the inside of what it's really like in the entertainment industry and let you be the judge of where you would like to go. If you're interested in it or you just want to know a little bit more detail about it, we're going to have more and more interviews to come. But we decided to take a break off of the special guests for this particular episode. And, you know, from Radio and TV Entertainment, AM, FM podcast show to you, we want to make sure that we are giving you the inside of the entertainment industry with hot topics. This has been your host, Yolanda Nolly, with Radio and TV Entertainment, AM, FM. Hey, this is Yolanda Nolly with Radio and TV Entertainment, AM, FM. And I have, along with my celebrity co-host, motivational comedian, Miss Woody. Hi, Miss Woody. How you doing?
Hello, hello. Pretty tired, but feeling energized right now.
All right, amen. There's a lot of things that could be said about the entertainment industry. On radio and TV entertainment, we want to be the insider, and we want to give the inside information about what it's like in the entertainment industry for those who want to go further and, you know, the outside of just making, you know, to living the luxury life, but it's more to that. It's a lot of work ethic that goes along with it. And don't know. What are your thoughts about that? You've been in comedy for a while.
Like you said, a lot of things can be said about the entertainment industry, especially when you first getting started. You know, it's rough. And then when you do get started, you got to go through some more rough patches and deal with a lot of negative energy, and you have to get away from that negative energy to succeed.
To be productive, which is true. I just said it, and that's kind of what I mentioned, you know. And I also mentioned, you know, I guess on the side that, you know, I guess it takes a lot of, you know, hard work ethic, you know, and passion for what you want to achieve, outside of just being, you know, a wealthy celebrity. I mean, it's more than that. You know, as far as what I've come to see myself, as far as seeing a lot of people that I have run into and interviewed and so forth. I know this evening we're taking a sidetrack from all the special guests. I know you were one of my special guests, you know, and just have a word of discussion. And anybody who wants to give us a, you know, chime in, or they want to, you know, to leave a voicemail and add to some topics that they would like to be discussed about, anything in it, would it be acting, music, comedy, being a host, you know, they're more than welcome to chime in and leave a voicemail message, and we'll discuss it the next time we do Hot Topics. You know, when it comes to it, I mean, there is a lot, you know, around this to construct a career. When it comes to that, I mean, I would say, you know, being able to understand what the key people are that help that are the kind of the facilitators, I would say. Like, you're doing an event next year. It's going to be huge. It's going to be the comedy festival, and you're doing and you have, among that, you're doing other things, and on top of that, you're a comedian yourself. So you've done comedy for some time.
Yes, and one thing I can say about my own circumstances, although I have I've gone many, many years working hard to pull off this comedy festival. Actually, it's a comedy festival collaboration is what I'm building up to, in which others who are basically doing the same thing that I'm doing in the industry of comedy, when it comes to comedy competitions / festivals, talent searches for comedy, movies, it doesn't really matter. The collaboration is what keeps those in this industry going, and this is what I've been trying for so many years to get more people to understand. When we have skills in the same industry and we begin to do collaboration and partnerships, it opens more doors. You know, when you're constantly doing something by yourself, it takes longer, it takes much longer of a time to accomplish those goals. And we have people in the industry that are trying to write movies, do movie scripts, you know what I mean? So, you know, I just wanted to touch on that because it just went, sorry to go left on you on that, but it's just a part of how comedy can lead to other things beyond the stage. And I, you know, I try to express that to as many comedians as I possibly can. Don't get comfortable with the stage. Branch out. And don't be afraid to try something new, especially when you have a really good idea in this industry that may be similar to somewhat of what someone else is doing. But if you have an opportunity to bring something new, go for it, no matter how long it takes. You know, and I mention that because how long I've been working on getting a comedy festival off the ground. You know, and it's not only just a comedy festival, it's leading up to a major event in comedy, which is the comedy Guinness World Record attempt, you know. But you know, I don't want to, you know, take over too much on the conversation. I'll let you, get some words in based on what I just said and how it assimilates in other industries of entertainment.
Well, this segment is all about, you know, hot topics in the entertainment industry. So, I mean, you said a lot of things that, you know, that a lot of people should ask questions, you know, about, such as, you know, and I like what you mentioned as well, like when you express that, you know, don't just be someone who just occupies the stage with the talent. You know, branch out and definitely look into other areas where your talent can be utilized in different ways. So just being a screenwriter, you know, there's a lot of there's some comedians that want to grow to become headliners, but they don't know the road that they have to take in order to become that person that is a headliner. A headliner is sort of like a supermodel. What is a supermodel? Well, a supermodel is basically someone that they've went above and beyond just being a pretty face and being able to have a great walk. They're now able to, they've been around for a while, and they understand, you know, to understand how the industry works. So they actually understand the how. So now they branch out into, okay, well, you know, this industry is ran on, it's all about beauty, it's all about makeup and being able to design clothing, being able to create relationships and build upon those areas, being able to be certified, maybe a certified seamstress, you know, and then branch out further into other areas and then go into commercials. Oh, well, even though I'm a model, I'm also intelligent enough to go and speak into in front of a camera and do a commercial now, you know, and then propel that to other areas. So like comedy, you know, there's other things that you can build camaraderie with. There's actually associations out there that you can become a part of that can build your network. And not only that, but they can actually build upon the material that you have as a comedian and camaraderies. And they have seminars, they have conferences. There's even one that is for Christian comedy. They have an association for that, and they give awards. So you putting awards under your belt, you're branching out, and then you're able to create material for other comedians. Now some comedians don't want to do that. You know, they just want to go and get in and fly in and do a 30-minute comedy set or two, or maybe they'll host it, do an hour or so, and then they're out. You know,
right?
And then that's where they're kind of like they're kind of stuck in a rut because they limit themselves. And I love what comedian Detroit Red said. He said it plainly that don't limit yourself, don't constrict yourself to just having one set of an audience. Have a diversified audience.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
You being a comedian.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure you know a lot of comedians out there that are headliners too. You know, the features to, you know, the guest spot, the stand-up spot, you know, stand-up, you know, what do you see within that could help them further their careers within your comedy festival that's coming up?
Well, one thing I know that they can do is get connected to a mentor. And I don't mean someone who just has a name or recognizable name in the industry, just someone who will and don't mind showing some pointers, some avenues, some giving advice, getting you connected. That's one thing they can. And another thing, Take advantage of opportunities that are right in your face. And for example, I'll give you an example. When I was taking the time out to add video of comedians and poets and filmmakers to my website, I put it out there. You know, send me a video. Let me post you on my entertainment page, my comedy page, or And some people took advantage of it. But then there were others who looked at me as, you know, you're right, your website is not getting thousands and thousands of views. Well, I'm sorry about that background noise, but I had to explain to them, you never know who's going to see you. You don't necessarily have to be on a website or some type of platform where thousands of people are viewing. You just never know when and where you're going to be seen. You just never know.
You know, that's a good point you made. That's a very good point. You know, because now, I mean, look, now we're, you know, the days of stages is still validated. It's still, it's still validated by, you know, you being on a stage or a platform. But however, we are moving into the modern ages where, you know, everyone has a cell phone. You know, everyone has a notebook, computer, laptop, you know, everyone's kind of getting into the technical ages now. So now it's more prevalent that people are becoming more of an influencer online, to be able to influence the online audience. And I've seen it now where I love it where, again, you know, comedian Detroit Red said that, you know, hey, invest in yourself a little bit, you know. Get yourself, a nice three-point lighting in your, you know, and set up a studio in your own home. Why not? You know, invest in a camera. Go on Amazon, get you a camera. Be able, if you know how to handle a camera and record yourself, get yourself a nice little ring light, you know, spotlight yourself. And then, you know, be able to become the character in your own studio, in your own home studio. And be able to start from there, and being really good at that, and being able to do, like, it's not David Arnold, but it's another gentleman that I watch a lot, and I see him quite often on IG, on Instagram, and he said himself, and he had basically construct a reality TV series, a reality series on Instagram. Real quick, fast, about, and he incorporates his family in within the series, and he's funny. He's a comedian.
David Arnold.
You seen him, right? Okay.
Yeah. Now that's family support right there. You know.
That is family support, and he said himself that he goes, why is it that people ask him, how are you able to do that on Instagram or any other platform? Because he says, I've written for other people. I've written comedy scripts for other TV series. I've written, he goes, I'm a writer, so I'm able to construct the show. See? You know?
Right.
So he's able to, you know, and that doesn't mean that that shouldn't, like, you know, stop any kind of creative flow if you haven't done one like he has. Written for television shows and comedy scripts, but you can still develop one or have a friend that you know that can help you out with developing one in your own home studio.
Right, and that's something that I was trying to do with someone I know that's really good at filmmaking, but that relationship didn't last as far as doing that event, but. I mean, we're still, good friends. Matter of fact, it's the gentleman who did my documentary and my movie, the promo to my movie, Certified Crazy. But he did the documentary the day I almost went postal. All of that is on YouTube. So, I even started writing with another young lady that turned the day I almost went postal into a stage play. So that's another thing what I meant by earlier when I was saying, you know, through collaborations and partnerships. So I'm building relationships with others who are good at other things that's still going to advance my other projects in comedy. You know, there are people out here that'll work with you, and you don't have to pay them up front. You can do anything. I even had a little tiny said, write you an agreement. You can write an agreement on a napkin. It's both sided and it's a legal binding document, you know?
And but make sure everyone that you that if you do that, you gotta get that notarized. So I just want to
sure. Yeah, you can of course. But I'm just saying,
right.
You know, starting out, you know what I mean? Starting out, you know, I even did that with some comedians who were wanting to do their own comedy festival with me. And I told them years ago, I know you guys are gonna come at me once everything is, you know, come full circle with me. And I told them, name your own festival, hold on to the name. So when you're ready, you know, come on back. And then I'll just be charging you more to be a part of the collaboration than I would if you hadn't invested in it, you know? And that's the thing, investment versus booking. Work with me instead of for me, okay?
Absolutely, absolutely, you know. But, you know, I'm all about the legal jargon because people often forget about the legal jargon when it comes to even in entertainment. You know, you can't forget that. And I like what you mentioned that, yes, you can. I mean, having an agreement on the napkin, at least you have something concrete written in writing.
Getting it notarized seals the deal.
Absolutely. But you got it in writing. You know, both people wrote it on the napkin, and then they pass it off to one another, and then, you know, they can get it photocopied at, I don't know, Best Buy.
I tell you some good attorneys I talked to many years ago as I was developing the comedy movement and getting the comedy, the Midway Show Me Funny Comedy Festival off the ground and preparing for this Guinness World Record attempt. And one attorney told me, never stop offering, because when you pull it off, there's going to be a lot of people that's going to come at you and say they did this, they did that. It was like, okay, you was paid for this, or you was paid for that, or if I didn't pay you for this, I felt like it was valued at that. If you didn't stick around, and I have documentation of phone calls, text messages, emails, what have you, and you didn't stay with the game, you didn't stay connected, then I took it as you saw it had no value, so you have no association, you know what I mean? So I always offer. That's why you see me posting it all the time. And something else that I say, I want to say we did it instead of I did it. You know, it sounds better. We did it. Because being a part of history, being a part of something that is impactful will take your name so far. You know what I mean? And I like to use this as a comedy event, for example. Comic Relief. It was Billy Crystal, Whoopi Goldberg, Robin Williams. They started the Comic Relief, and when they dispersed from that, you know, they made history, right? But do you know now Comic Relief is associated to some people in the UK, and now they're selling those red noses with different types of characters on the red noses now, and raising money for... I forgot what cause they're raising. I don't know if it's, I can't remember, homelessness or I don't know what the illness. I don't know. All I know is they taking it and run with it because they didn't keep it going, you know? They didn't keep it going. But they are remembered for doing Comic Relief.
Wow. I mean, you know, it's amazing. You got to start something somewhere. In entertainment, and see, you know, Comet Relief, and then there was in the music world, it was something called Farm Aid, and that was done. It wasn't Bruce Springsteen; it was some John Mellencamp. I think it did something called Farm Aid.
And, yeah.
You know, and this is another way to develop something within your gift, or whether it's comedy or music or whatever have you, and being able to give back. And then some, and it keeps going because people find that, and it's it just becomes historical, and it really pronounces a lot for what you're giving with your gift in entertainment. It's you know, and I loved how you just opened up a whole new avenue for, you know, for thought when it comes to that. You know, like you're out there every day, you know, almost like you're very diligent. You were just in Atlanta to speak to you know, John Hope Bryant, which there's some people that may know about him, some people may not.
Yeah.
But he's doing something to clean up credit. This is a multimillionaire billionaire, isn't he?
I want to call him a billionaire. I don't know his numbers, but I know he's up there.
I know he's up there too. but you know, he's doing something to give back, and it doesn't have to be money. It's just another way to have many, many foundations to help people clean up their credit, to be able to manage money.
Yes. And here's another thing that I want to point out, since we're talking about Mr. John O'Brien, when it comes to what people can do to prepare for their role to their industry, doesn't matter which industry you're in, especially if you're going to speak on music or comedy or anything like that, get associated to those who have been there, done that, lost big, fell harder than you've ever fallen, because those are the people you can learn a lot from. So I'm thankful that now Mr. John O'Brien knows me by name. I'm actually one of his clients, and I'm building that relationship so that we can have a business relationship, a partnership for what I'm doing through comedy. So through comedy, I'm looking to raise the funds to fund my organization in Homeless Mission. And I would like to be able to partner with his organization, because his organization, like you said, help people get their credit cleaned up for free. So get associated to some people who are very well off, and especially with knowledge.
Yes, absolutely. Knowledge, you cannot live in a wealthy state without having that knowledge attached to it. And definitely, please do listen to what this woman in comedy, who's also an activist, is saying, because she's saying a lot of knowledgeable things right now when it comes to people like Mr. John Hope Bryant, because he's doing this for free, and he knows the impact it takes to make a difference to people in many communities internationally, not just statewide, but internationally, because that's the biggest issue that keeps people in debt, that keeps people in poverty, is their credit.
That's right, and he's stationed in so many different cities around the country. I mean, he's planning his offices everywhere. I mean, if he's not in your state or in a city or multiple locations in a city, he's doing his thing to get planted everywhere. Operation Hope. I'm so glad we touched on that topic today, because that is something that we have to do in our industries, is work on cleaning up our credit. And I'm doing, not only working on cleaning up my credit, I'm trying to clean up all my debts, people I owe, people who think I owe them, get at me. Because I want to know where your head is at. I want to know what you say or think I owe you, because don't wait until I got the millions and then try to come at me, because I've already situated myself to be ready for that. You know, I won't be like a lot of these entertainers once their name is popping, that people come after them saying they owe me for this. I've already been educated. That's why I get out there. I show people what I'm doing. I show people that I'm not giving up. I show people that, hey, if I owe you, you see I'm trying to get it for you. Don't ever give up. Hashtag never give up on your dreams. No matter what, no matter how many times you fall down, get back up. No matter how many people who say they're for you and then turn their back on you, don't get mad at them. Don't get mad at them. Because people are who they are. They're going to either roll with you, keep rolling on down the road with you, or they're going to roll until they turn the corner.
Yes,
you just keep going. That's all you can do. And don't get stressed out about trying to pay somebody who's got more money than you. I don't care who they are. If they got more money than you and doing better than you, you get them when you can. You get at them when you can. Because if they see you grinding, they see you trying, they know, well, okay, I can't get what that person owes me right now, but eventually I will. And if they want to tack an interest to it, they can tack an interest to it. It is, you know, negotiation time, okay?
That's a real wisdom, wife. That's real wisdom. You know, can't get any better than that when you know that the person that's next door to you may have a little bit more than you, so you can actually negotiate that. Hey, I'm gonna get you down the line, okay? And that IOU is in the mailbox. So
exactly.
So you know, don't forget to cash that in when it's time. So to tell them, you know. But it really does make a statement when you're able to give back with your gift. And entertainment is a gift. I mean, you can, you know, basically move into so many different avenues with a talent, with a, you know, with comedy. You know, you're able to give, as I said before in the other segment, you're able to give people, better temperament with your comedy. You know, they
yes.
They can come off their job.
Stress relief.
Absolutely. And, you know, they could literally come off their job after getting yelled all day at the, you know, from their bosses, or, you know, being around disgruntled, and, you know, customers or clients or employees, co-workers, you know, and just say, you know what, I'm going to go down to, motivational Miss Woody's, comedian Miss Woody's, stand up this evening. Now I'm just gonna laugh it off. You know, just laugh it off, and I would feel fine that I paid this amount of money to go see her.
Yeah, I'm really chasing right now.
You know, this amount of it was worth it. It was just like paying a medical bill. You know, that's my counseling for the evening. Indeed. But it's amazing how we can when it's not compromised, we're able to, you know, find ways to do something within the entertainment industry to give back. And that's one thing that's one of the things that I highly respect those who don't seem to just give up, and to not just give up on their dream, because we hear that so often, you know, giving up on your dream, but it's more so giving up on your passion, what you're passionate about doing. And so many people will say that they want to give back, and we have so many wealthy individuals out there. I loved it when I heard Queen Latifah was redeveloping the projects, or she was buying real estate in order to redevelop it into better looking facilities for people that are homeless, just to have a place to stay.
But then, okay, wait, I didn't know about that.
Oh, it was all over social media. We were talking about that, and it was someone else. And then there's the tennis Serena Williams. She's helping out business women. She's helping out those who don't have money to fund their startup. And these are women who need to have money for this art. And it's on a platform called Alice.com. And that's another site that, you know, women can go to. And she developed that platform with other businesswomen that are billionaires, and would develop that platform for people to find money.
I'm sure it's I know that's a wonderful thing, but I just wonder how much questionnaires you gotta go through. And, you know, that's been my biggest thing when it comes to helping folks. How much red tape do you have to go through to get the help? You know, And that's what chased a lot of people away from getting the help, because our mindsets, especially us as African Americans, our mindsets is so stuck on, you know, free, give me a deal. You know what I mean? That's why I developed my system to do it as a match system. You know, we take the basic information, but we're not gonna have you fill out no long drawn out application and paperwork and all of that. You know, we'll say that for you and your business. We do a simple agreement. We do this for you. If you do this for yourself, you know, and that's simple.
It's you know, I love it that we have, you know, organizations like the ASA out there who have something called the Eagle Nest, with a lot of the successful people in entertainment and in the business world. Like,
yes, I love ASA. I love what they're doing. They're growing. You know, be on the lookout for ASA, because, you know, they're getting it in. Americans Serving Americans is what it's called. Americans Serving Americans. Started in Georgia by a gentleman by the name of David Ashby, who actually got some backing from some well-known, and especially in the entertainment of boxing, Evander Holyfield was one of his investors for getting that off the ground. And I know they're still developing the Eagle's Nest. I know they had an Eagle's Nest not too long ago. And basically, Eagle's Nest is an event, kind of like a Shark Tank, where people come and pitch, and they get the money from the people who went out and did the fundraising to give the money to those who apply for the money.
Yeah. Now that is something that I like to see happen, you know, more often, but you still have to be able to have your pitch prepared and ready. Just like anything else in anything else you do. I mean, when you go to a job interview, your interview skills and your resume is your pitch. You're pitching yourself. You know?
Yes, exactly.
You're pitching yourself to an agent. You know, when you go try to get signed by an agent, you have to have the right pitch in order for them to say, okay, I want to sign you. Instead of just giving you a freelance deal where you claim you have an agent, but you're not really signed, you're not exclusive, you know, you're still pitching yourself. So why not be able to pitch yourself into something bigger with your talent and do something to give back?
Exactly.
Because you're still going to be developing yourself, and there's so many out there that have done it. Time and time again, or even, you know, make it into an entrepreneur. I mean, don't get me wrong, entrepreneurship is what you're into when you're in the entertainment industry. Whether they want to see it or not, you're an entrepreneur. The minute you say you want to be a singer, a comedian, you are an entrepreneur.
You know? Say that again.
See,
say that one again.
And now I have someone, you know, I have someone to just put a stamp on there and say, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, a lot of the talent that I've ran into, you know, some of them have it together. Some of them, you know, they don't realize that they need a resume. You need a resume. You do need that. Whether you're an actor, radio host, or, you know, film producer, director, it doesn't matter what side of the industry you are in. You need a resume. You need a website. You know, some camaraderie. And camaraderie, you know, to be a part of associations, producers, directors, comedians. There are comedian associations out there to be a part of. That helps you develop yourself into be able to grow and understand. I mean, there's so many of them out there. I mean, you know, Paul Mooney, I respect this man. You know, he's written so many material for legendary comedians out there. Dick Gregory, one of the greatest. That man was an activist behind the scenes. And in front of
my mentor.
And, you know, and he knew so much about history, not just in entertainment, but just, you know, all the way around, because it's good to be well-rounded, and this man was well-rounded. He actually influenced a lot of the African-Americans in comedy. He was one of the influencers, you know, to influence them to be, to grow into the understanding of the history of comedy. And, you know, him, you know, him and so many others out there that were involved in activism. And, you know, that's one of the skill sets that it takes to be able to become a legend in the entertainment industry. Not just, you know, to do it because you want to be wealthy, but do it because it's an open avenue to open up minds.
Yes. Becoming an activist while in the entertainment industry, doesn't matter what it is, definitely gets you noticed. And those who are activists, they're passionate. You know, they see that they can use their position, whatever the position they're in. They don't have to be a well-known celebrity person to care and be passionate about change. You know, just like myself, I'm not a well-known person, at least not at this point in my life, my position in the entertainment or comedy industry. But what I'm working on, what I'm working toward to do, will definitely give me a different position in the industry. And I can do even more when I'm well-known or more known, or however you want to say it. You use those positions to do good, to make an impact, you know?
You know, I don't know about, you know, well, I understand that, you know, this is the avenue that many of them to go into the entertainment, that's not what's on their mind. See, not when they're starting out, when they're younger, they're not starting out. They're just looking for gigs. And, you know.
No, I mean, maybe not, but at the same time, most people who are activists already had it in them. You know what I mean? They probably was a stand-up person when they were a kid, when they were in high school, when they were, you know, coming up the ladder. And I know I can't say that for Dick Gregory, because Dick Gregory was a force to reckon with when he was in high school. I mean, he was organizing sit-ins, sit-outs, boycotts, and doing them in a structural way that took notice when he was a young person, you know, and he always had it in him. And there, you can say that probably about a lot of activists that if you go deep into their background and how they were, the things that they did, they usually lead in something, doing something, you know. I know I can say that about myself because I've always been a leader. I was a leader as a young kid, you know, grade school, high school. I mean, I took charge. I was always a take charge type of person.
It's still our day.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Oh yes,
you know, because you know, not many people, but those who do know you, they know that she definitely has is a force to be reckoned with herself. You are an activist in every sense of the word, as well as a gifted comedian yourself, comedian Miss Woody, definitely, and a motivator.
Thank you.
That. And I can only say this because, you know, I coming to know you, you know, being out there, and you are out there in the community. Ever since day one, since I met you, you were out there in the community. And this is why it's like anytime you need something, let me know. I'm like that when it
comes. Thank you. And one thing I can say about my activism, I don't do what a lot of other people do. I don't go someplace and yell and march and all of that. I'm taking a stand in a unique way. And I speak up about a lot of things, and I voice my opinion on many things. But I will not. I refuse to get out there and act a fool and do a lot of the things that a lot of people are doing these days. Because this is my own personal opinion. When you gotta shut it down, boycott or whatever, then that's what you gotta do. You know, if it comes to something like that, and I feel like, hey, I gotta be a part of that group that does that, then I will. But since I'm on a path of trying to hit in homelessness for many people, I just found a different way to be an activist for that, to be a person that can advocate for someone going through something, especially if I've gone through it myself, because I did a lot of research, talked to a lot of people who have gone through homeless situations or almost homeless situations. And it's true to say, so many entertainers have gone through it or is currently going through it, and many of them disguise, I'm gonna say they're not in denial. They can't be in denial for their situation and what they're going through, but you have a lot of people that still try to live above their means, and especially when a lot of people leave their home states and travel to a lot of the states like New York, California to pursue their dream. And then they find out that it is even much harder because you're positioning yourself with even more, you're positioning yourself to be among competition.
Right.
You know, you're limiting yourself. Your position to be seen, to be heard, especially when you come into someone else's circle and they know that circle way better than you. So we see it all the time with entertainers. They, you know, but you have to do what you got to do. You follow your heart, you follow the path that you feel is chosen for you. And if you fall, you fall. You fall, you get back up.
Well, as I was often saying, and I think it's always best to develop, a sense of knowing what circle you're around. Even though you're new to that circle, knowing the circle that you're around, and that involves doing your research. You know, who are the people that you're around, and then developing a certain approach of how to, initiate a valid discussions with the group that you're being reintroduced to for the first time. And from there, that can give you a sense of, developing in a way where that turns to, or in turn becomes a long-term relationship. Because so many people want to, start off networking and get in and get out, get a couple of numbers and then, and then they think that they're on their way, and it's more to it than that.
Right.
It's more right. to it than that. And you just go into a convention and think that, okay, well, I've done a little bit of research here. These are only people I'm going to go and try to meet. I say try to meet a little bit of diversify the people that you're going to be speaking to. I would say don't just go and set for the one that is the most well sought after, the most well known, because you never know who's there that's probably not, not all that well known.
Right.
Would it be an asset for, an asset to you, as you start to develop that relationship, that network, within that particular new network. You don't want to limit yourself, because there's many, millionaires out there that aren't on the 500, Fortune 500 list. there's many, celebrities that are not all that well known in the media, but they still have a lot of notoriety to themselves. You have a lot of Grammy winners, a lot of Golden Globe winners aren't spoken about, that have won more awards than some of the well-known celebrities out there. But they still carry a lot of validation. They just tend to not be in the media so much.
Right.
You know, they're more private people, you know. I wouldn't say seclusive. There are a few that are seclusive. But you know, for the most part, they don't stay in the media as much. Neither do the public figures. Like, I didn't know about, you know, John Hope Ryan, you know, until it was brought up in discussion with you. And I looked at his Facebook, and I was like, oh, wow. This man is a multi-millionaire, or whatever the figures are. And I knew nothing about this man. He's not in the media. He's not in the media all that much. But he's out there. But he's just not.
Yeah, his ties, his connections, his, you know, he's an investor. I mean, he's not quite a bit. I mean, especially since he served under 3 different presidents.
Wow, you know, that means a lot.
Now, you know, anybody that worked in the White House through that many terms know a lot of people.
You know a lot of people. If you go into to be in the White House itself and serve in the White House, you do know a lot of people, and you have a lot of weight to your under your belt already. With that being said, and you know you are definitely keyed in. But no one unless they have read books, have been well read and well researched, would know about this man until unless someone said something, or they've actually read, unless they are, you know, a well-researched person and they read a lot, because he's not in televised media that much. Really isn't.
No, not now. I mean, when he was, you know, serving. But I mean, a person has to go and do their research, you know, and see what they want to know about him. But that's just someone I admire as a businessman. As a person who is now, I consider a mentor, learning a lot, you know. I love his statement. He says, his quote, statement, whatever you want to call it. If you hang around 9 broke people, you'll be the 10th.
Well, that's just like Psalms. That's just like Psalms. You know, if you hang around angry, negative, sick and tired people. That's sick and tired. You're gonna be sick and tired and angry too. You know.
Yeah. That's if you're not trying to do nothing about it. I mean, that's one thing to be broke in the pockets, but if you broke in the mind, you know, and I think that's what he really mean by that. You know, you have to get around people who know wealth, who's connected to wealth, who understand wealth, who knows finance, who knows about money. if money is a way that you need to live and make it in this world, unless you're out there living off the land and can care less about being around people and it's just checked out of society, you have to get with people who can help you get some things done. You know, I don't hang out with a lot of people. You know, I just don't, you know. And I'm to the point where if I don't feel it's really worth it for me to be at a specific place at a specific time, then I'm sorry. You know, I can't afford it, nor can I afford to waste the time. So, you know, I know what I need and I focus on what I need. And that's what I do.
You know exactly. You know I'm every bit of Virgo, so I'm workaholic.
So well, I'm a Taurus. You know when we got our mindset on something, we set. And, you know, we'll be as nice as we can be until you piss us off. And you know we're gonna let you know we're not gonna fool with you, or you gonna get rammed with some
bull
horns. You know.
Y'all can be a little stubborn too. You
know, stubborn. Oh, very. Oh yeah, we so set when we know what we want. Dang, I sorry. You can't turn us around. Nope. It's not going to happen. You can keep trying. You might be successful, but you know, it's going to be a battle.
But, you know, I will say that, you know, but they can be the most caring people as well. They really can.
Yes, you got a very loving heart. Just once you stomp it, you know, you step on my toe, you know, you made me a little mad. Step on it again. Okay, now I'm getting a little angry. Okay, you just stepped on it again. Now I'm totally pissed. And, you know, steam coming out my nose, the horns, they rose, and I'm ready to charge. So
that sound like that bull you see in the cartoons, and Acme, the Acme cartoons, when it just turned completely red, and then the nose just starts filling up with smoke, and
right.
It's just straight out the rim. I said, oh, you didn't start us up, you're on your own. You are on your own. So, you know, but that's what, but see, that's that focus again. You still stay in focus. So, I can just turn into a red flag. So, but, you know.
We get focused. We get laser focused. And that's where I'm at right now in my life. I'm so laser focused because I gave myself 10 years to pull off this event in the way that I see it. And I got to go hard. You know, for the next 6, 7, 8, 9 months, I'm that's where I'm at. I'm determined to get the last final pieces to this puzzle to pull off this major event so I can carry on to the next project, because I want to finish my movie scripts. I want to finish my stage play. You know, I've got all those things started, but they also need funding. So through one event, I can fund so many different projects through one major event, and that's that Guinness World Record attempt, that comedy festival. And that'll be an annual event.
See, this is why we're doing hot entertainment topics right now. This is the topic right here. I have, you know, with us my celebrity co-host, Mrs. Comedian Miss Woody, and I kid you not. This woman is laser focused about what she's going to be achieving. And it may have taken her 10 years or plus, but she never gives up. And I think that deserves a shout out right off the bat, because you cannot, anything that you're doing, you cannot stop it. You cannot lose focus on something that you're trying to achieve. If it's truly a vision and it's clear from God, you cannot allow it to be stopped.
That's right.
He won't let you rest until you carried it out. He didn't let Noah stop. He didn't let Noah stop because of a flood. He said, no. I still keep hearing God tell me to do cubit by cubit. And who knows how large that this particular boat was. But it took him so many years to complete it, but he finished it because God made sure he stayed focused.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I want to say this to anyone listening. When you connect with someone who is so determined to make something happen that you cannot see happening, and they know this is their purpose, you better believe it's going to happen. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. These devices that we're utilizing these days. That was somebody's vision. That was someone's thought to create. An idea came to their mind. And who knows, maybe it was them talking to God, God talking to them and telling them, hey, I got an idea for you. It's going to be revolutionary. It's going to be monumental. It's going to be history. And they didn't let it go, right? They didn't let it go.
Wow.
So don't ever think that a person's idea is not doable. And if you ever connect with someone who's so laser focused and determined, and you see them going years and years focused on the same thing no matter what, especially if you can see it happening, But you sitting around waiting until it happened, and you got something that you could bring to the table to help that person get it off the ground, you better believe you are considered an investor, and that person will look at you as an investor. If you do something, right, just like what Yolanda has done. Yolanda stepped up and helped me with some things that's going to help take me to the next level with what I'm doing. And I consider her an investor. And all investors don't invest money. They can invest, yes, time, service. I mean, time is money. We know that. But when you bring something to the table to help that person get to the next level, I know this is how a lot of people have thought that was working hard to accomplish a major, major goal. And this is how I feel. Anyone who is taking the time to go over and above and beyond to help someone achieve a goal, in my books, that person is considered an angel. That person has been touched. That's someone that the Almighty has touched to be a part of the solution to that person's problem.
Time is precious, and what I mean by that is, you know, when God puts that, God gives us time because time is a gift, and our vitality, our livelihood is our gift. So what do we do with that in the meantime? What are we doing with it? So we have to do some, we have to put it as a service to others.
And yes, part of your service to others.
And so when you bestow that, you're giving out a gift. You're giving out a service when you're giving your time, you know. And you're doing it as a way of committing to something, you know. We have to think about our level of commitment on things, you know. If we have goals in mind, we have goals to set that we're trying to achieve. So what are we doing with our time? Are we on our cell phones? Are we, you know, spending time with our families? Are we, you know, delegating duties at, you know, on a job? And are we putting everything into everything, you know, to what we're passionate about doing in our lives? And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to have one set goal to have a passion about. You may have several things that you can get passionate about doing. But whatever it is, are you doing it in a way that is serving? This, I can say right now that this woman, I've seen her doing it. This is, you know, motivational comedian Miss Woody is serving her time, and she's giving it, and she's putting her all into it. So what are we doing in the entertainment industry? That, what is, you know, what are we doing with it? You know, are we serving enough for others to for one goal? I know one thing. I would help out, you know, Miss Woody any day, because she's got passion.
Thank you so much. When you call to do something, and you know, you wake up with it, you go to sleep with it, you know that's your purpose. You get up and do. And the Almighty will make a way for you, no matter your hardships, no matter your fallbacks, your failures. And trust me, I've had quite a few failures. I don't worry about what anyone says about me for trying and failing and oh, that's not going to work. Oh, she haven't done it this time. She's probably never going to do it. I mean, think about some of the people who had to go through years of trying, and they went through so much money to accomplish those goals. For example, that.
Spoken about, you know, the late Dick Gregory. passionate ever since high school to
right.
To be the activist that he is, that we've come to know. And Lord knows how many things else he's done in order to try to make the communities a lot better. To be able to fight for what he felt was right to be produced or to be given back to the communities that we know today. That we probably wouldn't even have anything to attribute to be conducive to.
And he found a way to marry his activism with his comedy. And he walked away, and got away from the stage for a while. He still, his gift, he was able to use his gift, his God-given gift, to be a part of his activism and his stand for change, He opened the door for a lot of comedians because of the type of determination he had. He broke down some doors. Comedians, a lot of comedians will never have the opportunity to be a part, I wouldn't say never, but because of him and his involvement with the civil rights movement and the stand that he took, and because he was a well sought out comedian at the time, he said, hey, you want me, then okay, then you got to do this. And not only for just me, but for others. And he opened those, got those doors open. And he used that platform to do other things, to do what we do.
It's amazing what we can do with our gift. The gift that has been bestowed upon us to utilize it. But, but God just, has given us a choice to figure out what are we going to do with it. DeGurgi knew from when he was a young man himself what he wanted to do with his gift in the world of entertainment, and that was to make sure that whatever he did in entertainment, he was going to get back to the community. Kara Risk is another person as well who says that greatness will follow you, but first you have to go and be able to be the leader and lead people to the understanding of what needs to be done in your community. When people see you serving, that's when greatness will follow.
Yes.
That was profound. That was profound wisdom that maybe people was able to attain from you speaking in that way. And then others that have missed it. I all I can say is that they'll get it in time. But I want to say I love what you're doing. This is Ms. Woody, and what you're doing with the comedy movement to help end homelessness and everything else you're trying to do when it comes to serving your community of St. Louis. And I want to give you, I just want to say that you're an inspiring voice. And that
it's about stand up for change. When I first heard stand up for change, and I started the hashtag stand up for change, I quickly associated it with stand up comedy. Stand up comedy is comedians basically standing up, doing a monologue, or acting out, or storytelling, and they're standing up to get the attention of the audience. So while you're standing up to get the attention of the audience, stand up for change. Use that platform to be a difference maker. That's where hashtag stand up for change comes from. You don't necessarily have to be a comedian, but just because I'm a comedian and associated to comedians, and a lot of the comedians are have done or want to do or said they want to do something more, to be a part of a service through their gifts. So stand up for change. Find a cause to support while you standing up doing comedy and entertaining. Speak about something that you stand up for. Stand up for it. Fundraise for it. Raise awareness for it, whatever you have to do. And that's what I do when I'm out in the community. I raise awareness for homelessness and mental illness. And I'm out there using my mission as my opportunity to not only spread the word, but I also found a way to create it as a business, a way of living. I made my mission my job. Therefore, I'm always talking about doing something related to my mission, and I'm providing an income for myself. That's what people do with acting. That's what people do with story writing, filmmaking, you know, if they have a mission to make the next best movie, they make that mission their business.
You know, that's a strong statement that has a lot of merit to it, a lot of methodism to it as well. And, you know, it's just like, if you're good with your hands, you know, if you're really good with your hands and you're good at making things, you're very crafty at what you do, you know, you can get 10 other people that are just as good as you, and you can build a home. You know, you see it every day. You know, not the Mormons, but but those who live without electricity are out there using their hands, using everything they can to stay away from man-made things in order to build a community. So it's the same as using your gift to hone your gift in order to stand up for change. And you know, standing up for change meaning that you're being vocal about it. But with your gift, whether it's music, whether it's comedy, anything that has to do, you know, that you have a gift in entertainment, you're able to give back to the community and make a change in it. And I love that, to see that. That's what, you know, inspires me to want to definitely get up every day and be able to serve my community too, you know, in any way possible. You know, whether I'm giving my time, you know, my vitality, the vitality that God has blessed me with, you know, to provide through my family, whatever we can do to give back as much as possible. And it's a labor of love. And I think that, you know, with that being said, this is what the comedy festival consists of.
Yes, man, exactly.
You know, this has definitely been a great hot topic in entertainment, along with my celebrity co-host, Miss comedian Miss Woody, original comedian Miss Woody, and this has been Radio and TV Entertainment, AM/FM, and me and Miss Woody, we're out.
Is it destiny? I'll follow
TV Entertainment listeners, want to share your opinions, give feedback, or tell me what you're thinking? Send me a voice message. Voice messages are an easy way for you to send me audio that might end up in a future episode of Radio and TV Entertainment AM/FM. They're the latest feature from Anchor, the platform I use to make podcasts. Here are some things I'd love to hear from you. Questions you have for me. What thoughts of this, what you think of this episode. What you think of any topic that I may discuss. Who you think I should interview next. Make up a theme song for me. Do your best impression of me. I'll see your messages and I might add them into a future episode. Anchor makes that part super easy. You can send me a voice message right now from wherever you're listening. Just tap the link in my show notes. I can't wait to hear from you.
Radio and TV, entertainment, AM, FM, podcast show. With Yolanda Nolly.